The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 26, "Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel, and the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful tonight for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for our time that we've had to fellowship together. We are thankful for the songs that we've sang. And Father, we're so thankful for this Scripture. Please speak to every heart here in a personal way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to notice the key verse tonight. It's verse 28. And notice the Bible says about David here that he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And his son Solomon reigned in his stead. Now, as you read that verse, it doesn't say anything about suffering at all. Nothing. If we were to read that verse only about David's life, we might conclude that David had a nearly perfect life, that he had a bed of roses to live. In fact, again, it says there that he died in a good old age. Do you know what that means? It means he died at ease. In other words, David, at the end of his life, he didn't have anything that was violent, that made him violently ill. He didn't have some horrible disease. He didn't have some terrible, tumultuous time that he was going through. He died at ease. And wouldn't you like to die that way? David did. But he died in a good old age and likewise full of days. That means that he died a satisfied person. And you think about that. He lived many days, but he died at a time of great satisfaction in his life. And at the same time, too, it says he was full of riches. In other words, he wasn't poverty-stricken. He didn't have to apply for food stamps or for Medicaid. Man, he died with every financial need met and all obligations current. And then it tells us that he died full of honor. And that is, before he passed away, man, people honored him from all over the kingdom. And in my opinion, that's probably the nicest thing that he had in his life. And if you were, again, just to read verse 28 here in 1 Chronicles 29 about David's life, you might conclude that David's life was perfect. You might think that because he was satisfied with the life that God had given him, and because he died in an abundance of wealth and even of honor from all those around him, and then if you compared his life to your own life, you might think to yourself, man, David's life was a bed of roses. And you know, people do that sometimes, don't they? They look at another believer's life like David, or maybe like some deacon in the church, or like some preacher that they know of. They look at some member in the church, and when they compare those people with their own lives, they begin to think, am I the only one who has had a miserable life? I mean, because it looks to me like, you know, brother so-and-so over here, he looks like he's skating by good. And it looks like sister so-and-so, she has no problems at all in her life. And when they look at their own lives and think of all the disappointments that are there and all the peril that is there, they might think to themselves, man, it sure seems to me that everybody else is satisfied, but yet I am absolutely miserable with my life. I'm inundated with difficulty and dilemma. And I always seem to be running short of finances or health or something. And in thinking that, they can sure be discouraged. But let me share something with you tonight. If you think that way, you're thinking wrong. Because the fact is, every person, in fact, every believer, every person who knows Christ as their Savior has a degree of difficulty. We all do. That they've either gone through a time of trouble in their life, or they are currently in some time of difficulty or they are going to eventually be going through one. Every godly church member that you know, that I know, goes through times of disappointment of some kind or the other. Every church leader, every church officer, every pastor or evangelist, that although from the surface it might look like they've got it all together, it might look like they are people who have a great amount of finances or even honor. Well, listen, David wants us to know that all of us goes through problems. Now, we've been talking about doing for others on Sunday nights, and several weeks ago, we looked at a man named Jonathan, Saul's son. Jonathan, of course, he did for David by being the best friend a guy could ever have. And by the way, we ought to endeavor to be a good friend to somebody else also. People need friends in this day and time. Last week when we looked at Esau's life, do you recall what he did for us? He taught us, don't be like brother Esau, who for just one morsel of meat sold his birthright, the Bible says in Hebrews 12. But tonight, though, as we focus our attention on David, one of the most prominent figures in the whole Bible, but as we focus on him, he teaches us that we're not the only ones who go through times of suffering. And that if we will, when we die, if we will hope in God, we can likewise be full of days and honor and abundance also. So let's talk about David tonight. Now, David passed away when he was around 7 years old. And again, when he died, he was full of days, full of honor and riches. But I want you to know that it wasn't always that way for David. We know that. In fact, let's rewind some. 50 years prior to these events, when David was just a youth, he had been the baby brother. How many of you have ever been a baby brother or sister before? That's not always the nicest place to be, being the baby, you know. And in David's case, he had seven older brothers. And according to the Bible, he, from an outward appearance, was not as honorable as any of them were. In fact, keep your place here in 1 Chronicles 29 and turn back to 1 Samuel 16. And let's read together quickly verses 1 through 10. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, that the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. And if you keep on reading there, we're not going to, for the sake of time tonight, but if you keep on reading, Samuel had all the brothers of David pass before him, and the inference is that as they saw those guys in comparison to David, they were all strong, strapping young men, and David, it is assumed, was kind of smaller like that and not nearly as imposing as the brothers were. And my point is that David, from all signs, was probably not nearly as measuring up as his brothers were. And as the baby brother likewise, David was relegated to a life of tending sheep. How many of you have ever smelled a sheep before? David tended the sheep. And it was a life of solitude. I mean, he was out there a lot of times out there by himself with just the sheep. He was out there under the stars with no comfort from home and with all that responsibility for somebody so young. He was a youth during that time, but he was relegated to a very lowly task of tending sheep. In fact, his eldest brother Eliab on one occasion said to him, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? In 1 Samuel 17. But the point I'm trying to make is that even at an early age, David's life was tough. I mean, he spent a lot of time alone out there tending sheep. He spent time away from home, away from comforts of home and a family. And listen, there were times in his young life where he was lonely, no doubt. And let me ask you a question. Can you relate to that? Have you ever felt isolated like that before? I have, and that's not a fun place to be. David was isolated. But not only was David lonely as a young man, but David likewise faced giant problems, even in his youth. And we know the story very well in chapter 17 in 1 Samuel. The Bible tells us there that there was this giant named Goliath, and it tells us he was over 9 feet tall, and he had all these very heavy accoutrements, his brass and all his armor, and even his weapons, they were very heavy like that. And we're told there that he stood before the armies of Israel and defied them. And of course, as you keep on reading there, in fact, in verse 10, he said to the armies of Israel, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And the Bible goes on to say in verse 11 there that Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And to make a long story short, while they were afraid, David was thrust into that giant problem facing Goliath. And he was, and let me tell you, David in and of himself wasn't equal to the task. I mean, he didn't even quite measure up to his 7 older brothers, let alone this giant. He must have looked like a tiny person by comparison to the giant. But yet, this giant problem was thrust on his life even as a teenager. And from a human standpoint, man, in and of himself, he wasn't equal to that task. And let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever felt like that? Like you faced a problem that was way bigger than you were, and you weren't up to the task, and that there was no way you could possibly handle such a thing all by yourself? Well, listen, David did. He faced times of isolation in his young life. He faced giant problems that were way too big for him to handle. And then not long after that, he likewise was severely mistreated by his Israeli brothers, and specifically by the king. In fact, after staring down Goliath and God giving him victory over that problem, well, listen, when that took place, the Bible says in chapter 18, verse 7, that the women answered one another and as they played and said, "Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth or angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed 1,000s. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" And notice, Saul eyed David from that day forth. You know what that means? He was jealous of David. And listen, it wasn't just jealousy, but if you keep on reading there, in verse 10 it says there that it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God, that's conviction from God, by the way, conviction from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David avoided out of his presence twice. And can you imagine that? You've just come through isolation. You've come through this giant problem when all of a sudden the king of the land throws a javelin at you. Wow. Have you ever felt that way before? Like, you know, maybe people, because it's illegal to throw javelins, maybe somebody threw verbal javelins at you. Has that happened to you before? That's not fun. That's hard to go through times like that. It's difficult. And as you read, though, our text tonight in 1 Chronicles 29, it might look like David's life was perfect, but listen, please, his life was far from perfect. He faced isolation as a young man tending the sheep. He faced this giant problem. He had a javelin thrown at him by the king himself. And then in chapter 19, the Bible goes on to say in verse 1 there that Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. And in verse 9, It says again that this evil spirit or this convicting spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in the house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand, and he played the harp. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with a javelin, but he slipped away out of his presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And as you keep on reading, you find out that these kind of things went on for years. Not days, years. He goes through this sort of thing with Saul. I'm trying to get you to see here that David faced problem after problem after problem after problem. And not only did a fellow brother throw javelins at David, and not only did he face this giant in his life, and not only was he isolated, but man, these things went on day after day after day. And even after David became king, problems didn't stop. He continued fighting God's enemies, the Philistines and others. And then at the same time, too, he had so many family problems. I mean, think about it. One of his own sons forced his daughter. Talk about your problem. And then when that happened, another son killed that brother in retaliation. And then that one who killed that son then tried to conspire to overthrow David's kingdom. And I'm just trying to get you to see here that David's life wasn't a bed of roses. He had family problems, giant problems, and enduring problems his whole life long. David was in and out of problems day in and day out. By the way, in my opinion, family problems are the worst. I mean, those are the kinds that leave the deepest wounds in your heart and soul. And if you've been through them, you know what I'm talking about. But anyhow, beyond that, David was betrayed on occasion, even by his own staff. We talked about Ahithophel a couple of weeks ago in one of our services. And, you know, David, his counselor, his advisor was Ahithophel. And even Ahithophel, who ought to have been advising David in the right way, conspired to kill David. But listen, yes, David died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. That's true. But listen carefully, David's life was anything but perfect. It seemed like that when he got out of one problem, he ran right smack into another. When he got victory over the giant, he then had to face down the king. When he got victory over the king of Israel, he faced the kings of the Philistines and other kings. When he got victory there, he had problems in his own family. He went through problem after problem after problem after problem. And can you relate to David? I can. Man, David's life was a tough, tough life. And I got to tell you, as I look back over the last few decades of my life, I've been through problems too. In fact, I have faced both poverty and peril in my life. There was one occasion on the mission field where, while we lived in Africa, a gang of thieves came to our gate. They tried to kill our guard. They tried to kill our dog. They were intent on getting in our house at any cost. Now, thank God he spared us that night. But that was scary during that time. And at the same time, too, I had another occasion where I almost died on the mission field. I was an hour away from getting help. God spared me again, but that was hard. On one occasion, we had an assistant pastor in the church there, and he lied about me, and he tried to get me kicked out of the country by way of a petition. And again, those times are very, very hard, and I know that all of us could testify tonight that we have had problems after problem after problem in our life. But here David is. He died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. And if you read that verse only, you might think to yourself, especially as you compare yourself with him, that David had it pretty good. But listen, David, he was isolated. He faced giants and betrayal for many years. And then David wrote songs about those times. In fact, David wrote a lot of psalms, but he wrote some psalms about all those sufferings that he went through. In fact, keep your place in Second and First Chronicles and look quickly over to the Psalms, if you would. in Psalm 52. And look in verse 1. David wrote, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The tongue deviseth mischiefs, it like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." By way of information, this psalm here, its subheading refers to the occasion where when Doeg, the chief herdsman of Saul, informed Saul that David had gotten help from Abimelech. Do you remember that story? And that didn't end very well for Abimelech and for the other priests that were there. But Abimelech assisted David and while he was on the run from Saul, and David wrote about that horrible time in his life. Also in Psalm 53, look there if you would. The Bible says there, and this is a short psalm, so I'm going to read the whole psalm. He said, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people." And so obviously, David wrote this time in another time of great turmoil and even invasion in his life. In Psalm 54, this psalm was written by David when he was a fugitive from Saul. In this psalm, David described his dependence on God in a crisis. And again, David went through many crises in his life. In fact, in Psalm 54, verse 1, David said, "Save me, O God," in verse 1, "by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers are risen up against me." What a hard time David was facing. Then in Psalm 55, listen to verse 4. He said, "My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Man, David was going through such a hard time in his life in that occasion. And does that sound like a man whose life was perfect? Not at all. Listen, David wrote about his sufferings in Psalm 56. The heading of that psalm describes David, and specifically when the time when he was seized by the Philistines. And listen to what he said there in verse 1. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High." He is talking about a hard time in his life. And along with Psalm 56, we find that in Psalm 57, David also said in verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire." He's describing again a very hard time in his life. As you keep on reading in Psalm 58, in verse 6, David said, "Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually." In Psalm 59, David wrote in verse 1 there, "Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the worker of iniquity." Listen, as you just keep on reading again and again and again, all the way up through chapter 70, Psalm 71, David writes songs of suffering. And does that sound like the writings of a man whose life was perfect? No, listen, his problems touched him so deeply that all he could do was write songs about them. And then turn to Psalm 42. It is believed by many that this psalm was written when David was prevented from either returning to the tabernacle in Jerusalem, or that it was written as Paul was persecuting him, or when Absalom revolted against him. And in Psalm 42, verse 1, he wrote, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day." Here's the key verse. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" You know what that phrase, "why art thou cast down," means literally? I'm depressed. And where he says there, "Why is my soul disquieted in me?" it's saying there's a war raging in my heart. See, David was going through such a hard time of crises that his soul was sorrowing immensely, so much so that he was depressed and despairing. In fact, he said, "Man, my tears have been my meat day and night. I just am crying and crying and crying and crying." And you know, if you think you're the only one who's been through troubles like that, David did too.